And that seems to be the trend across the country. Hospitalizations are up 22% nationwide. Nearly 75% of the U.S. population lives in a high...
Every day, we are inundated with data. When battling an extreme pandemic, exploring the future of our planet.
The 10th year in a row that oceans have risen to new highs, and last year the average water level was about 3.8 inches higher than the 1993 average.
And even when watching sports.
They'll be in the playoffs. Nothing else would need to happen. They'll make the playoffs simply by winning their last two games. Right now, our PFF model gives the Niners overall an 87% chance of making the playoffs. There's also a ceiling.
We also hand over data about ourselves all the time in ways that are obvious and not so obvious, especially when we're using technology. Even less known is how corporations and others are using this data they collect from us. I mean, we don't get to see who has our data and certainly what is being done with it. Unfortunately, large companies can mismanage data, and when they find patterns through computations, they can introduce biases that infringe on human rights. To understand how data is misused by organizations, it's important to introduce the field of data science. What is it, and why has it become so crucial in our high-tech society? I sat down with data science and statistics professor at Duke University, Dr. Chetan Kaya Rundell.
I am professor of the practice in the statistical science department and the director of undergraduate studies here. The roots of data science have been around forever. The way I like to describe it is the science of making sense of data. Compared to other disciplines that are like it, is that it's making sense of data, but that data is not necessarily always structured data. Another attribute of it, which is generally working with complex and often large data sets that require lots of then automation to be able to sort of solve the problems.
In order for data scientists to make predictions, data must be collected from a large population. In today's society, most of the data originates from online browsing history.
Like human behavior on the web, like online, all of that data is recorded, and I think more so than recorded, they can be linked to each other. For example, it's like, oh, like, you know, take a break from work, say, oh, I'm going to do a little bit of online shopping. Maybe I put a thing in a cart, and then I'm like, nah, I don't need this. And then 10 minutes later, there's a text message on my phone, and I'm not even sure when I had, if I had actually given my phone number to that company. So on one hand, this idea of linking these records together and trying to sort of make sense of this whole person and what they might be like and what they might want to purchase and what they might want to spend money on, like from a scientific perspective, it's a really interesting problem, I think, you know. But then the other aspect of it becomes this, like, is it really ethical for us to be collecting and sharing these data across these places without, like, the person actually understanding, like, what's happening under the hood?
Ultimately, we have no idea what our data is being used for. Equally as concerning, large corporations are using our collected data for faulty models. Companies including Amazon have been under scrutiny for their recent data mismanagement.
Amazon's software engineers recently uncovered a big problem. Their new online recruiting tool did not like women. Amazon never solely relied on these online recruiting tools. It now uses a much watered-down version for administrative chores.
In 2014, due to a large increase in applications, the company decided to use a technical aid to find the best qualified candidates for their jobs. By analyzing resumes, a computer program created a ranking system of the applicants, allowing departments to make the best hire. The program was used for almost a year, but biases were discovered in the model. Resumes from female applicants were being excluded from the ranking system. They were essentially being thrown out. But why?
They wanted to build a system where it's like, okay, you give me 100 resumes, I'll give you the top five. But how do you determine top five? So you need a way of encoding in your data what sort of what are successful attributes that you might look for in a resume. What data are they looking at to define what's successful, what's not successful? Often they're looking at other resumes they've received and how those have sort of gone through the system, and also their current employees, sort of like higher ranking employees and whatnot. Tech companies have traditionally have and still do many more males in higher up positions. And so what happens is that you have this algorithm that is meant to rank the resumes that have been trained on a data set where this bias existed to begin with.
Data scientists often describe this phenomenon as garbage in, garbage out. If you train a model using biased data, you will also get biased results. More concerning, biased data is used to train algorithms that impact large populations. Yes, everyday people. In 2020, police departments in the UK implemented a data model to locate criminals using surveillance footage from street cameras. Using facial recognition and AI, a computer system can identify the location of a criminal using public surveillance cameras. However, this particular model has a negative reputation of being extremely inaccurate, as innocent people have been misidentified as criminals, especially people of color.
There are cameras everywhere, they're called like CCTV, but a lot more so in the UK, and it is sort of part of their legal, you know, system. They can sort of pull up recordings at any street corner at any point. And so the idea was, well, those cameras are running anyway, so can we add facial recognition to them? It's almost, in a way, you're increasing your police force, like your ability to look for people. It's ultimately looking at a picture of your face, certain features, turning that into metadata, like I'm not a facial recognition expert, but probably something like the amount of space between your eyes, whatever. Like imagine thinking about that as an image, but then turning that into sort of encoding that as data and then matching it against a database and trying to sort of see if your face is very close to one of the others that's in the database. But is it ethical? I mean, probably not, because you're just like walking down the street. You have not consented to your face being scanned and be matched against something. That is your data. That is your face. And then number two is, well, if they are doing this, who is it harming the most? The models are not necessarily trained on all types of people. So there was the example of soap dispensers don't necessarily always work with for Black people, where because it's looking for a skin color contrast, for example, and it's not finding it. Why? Because the model that it sort of has been trained on has not contained a sufficient number of people with those features. So when you have something that's making decisions within the criminal justice system about people, but it has been trained on data that might sort of, again, perpetuate biases in some way, that is like doubly harmful to everyone.
The bias in this model is impacting the UK's criminal justice system, as the reliability of the technology is under extreme scrutiny. This is another example of statisticians failing to recognize the distortions within large data sets. If we aren't careful, there will continue to be hidden biases that infringe on human rights. Microsoft President Brad Smith discussed this matter in a recent CNN interview.
I think there are many companies that believe that they do good for the world, and indeed in so many ways they are. But I also think that there is an opportunity for, I'll just say, introspection, because it's one thing to do what you love to do and be committed to it doing good for the world. It's another thing to step back and ask the harder question. Are there opportunities that we're prepared to look at and say this would make us money, but we're not going to do it because it's going to put people's lives at risk or broader ethical issues or humanitarian needs at risk?
As technology continues to rapidly progress, it is critical for data scientists to establish integrity in the field. As a statistics major at Duke, I have the responsibility to prevent and identify biases in data. Although the field is expanding quickly, as technology provides so many capabilities, it's important to consider the ethics and implication of high-tech computational models. It's not a question of can we do it, it's now should we do it. Special thanks to Dr. Chetan Kairandel from Duke University Statistics Department and Professor Biwen from the Center for Documentary Studies. I'm Bradley Bowen.